Well, we so appreciate the presence of each one here tonight. We're glad to be together to worship our God. In Acts chapter 14, we find in verse 27 that Paul and Barnabas, upon completing a trip to evangelize, said they'd come together and gather the church together, and they reported all that God had done with them and how he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And then in chapter 15, in verse 4, they came to Jerusalem and were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they have reported all things that God had done with them. So coming together to hear a report about evangelistic work that's been done, I always have to make that point before I start one of these reports. Reporting on such work in the assembly is an eminently scriptural thing to do. And this evening, that's what we'll be doing in our time together. So thankful for the church here at Eastside and its continued love for evangelism, both at home and elsewhere. I think that we're supporting about 28 men now in other places, helping evangelize really many places throughout the world, both in the United States and several places in foreign fields. And it's been my privilege, in kind of my thinking and that of the elders as well, to be able to visit a number of the men that we support, to encourage the fellowship and relationship that we have with them in the gospel, so that we could get to know them and their work better, they could know who we are better, and to maintain this wonderful fellowship that we have in Christ and spreading the borders of his kingdom. So to that end, we had been thinking, the elders had been thinking, and I had been thinking with them, about visiting our brethren that we're supporting in Colombia. We have three men that we support there, and I'll be talking about them tonight. We've been thinking about that for some time. Finally, we're able to arrange a trip. I realized, not being able to speak Spanish, that I was going to need some help with that. And I knew two sound preachers in the area, friends of mine and friends of many of yours, that might be able to help me with that. So I asked separately, I asked Jeff Archer and Isaac Munoz to perhaps accompany me on my trip. And they could come and do some work of evangelism, get to know the work there as well, but translate for me along the way. It just so happened that I'd asked them, and then a few weeks went by, and they both called me back on exactly the same day and said, sure, I'll go with you. So I got two translators for the price of one, so to speak, and I was happy to have them both alongside as we went on this trip. You see the map there. Colombia is one of the northernmost countries in South America. It's next to Venezuela, which is equally, I think, about as far north as Colombia. It's about 2,000 miles, a little more than 2,000 miles from Athens, Alabama. It's not really a bad flight down there, just a few hours, go to Atlanta and fly straight into Bogota from there. And that's what we did. Actually, Jeff and Isaac, they were able to go earlier than I was. I was in a gospel meeting in Coleman, you might remember, week before last. So they left that Monday and were down there from Monday to Thursday. And then I was able to fly down on Thursday and meet them. But these are the two cities that we went, or here on the map. Bogota is where I flew into. But from Bogota, immediately, the three of us then the next day flew over to Cali. We were there for Friday, left back to Bogota on Monday. So we spent a few days with a man that we're helping there in Cali, and I'll be telling you all about that. Colombia is a fascinating country. There are about 49 million people in the country of Colombia. Quite a large population. This map, which is sort of an artistic map, gives you a little bit more idea of maybe where things are, and the population is largely in the northern half of the country, the north and western half. Here again is Bogota. Here's Cali. Bogota is a city of 8 to 9 million people. And there are about 12 million in the metropolitan area. It is one of the largest cities in the Americas. It is right behind New York in size as far as population. As far as land area, it's bigger, much bigger than New York. It covers about 600 square miles. Very difficult to get around in Bogota, and we'll be talking about that a little bit as I tell you about our time there. The equator goes through southern Colombia, about right here, and there aren't very many people that live down that way. All of this is jungle. The Amazon jungle begins right here, Brazil, Peru, and southern Colombia. So that's where all of that starts in South America. The terrain up north is much, much different. There are high mountains and low valleys that characterize the terrain. Most of the people, as I said, live up in the northern half, which is much more habitable. Because of the elevation of some of that northern area, you think the equator is right there, it's going to be hot all the time. Bogota is quite cool because of the elevation. And we'll talk about that maybe some more in a minute, but Bogota is over 8,000 feet above sea level, quite high, and higher than Denver or Colorado Springs or some of the cities that we think of in America as being high in elevation, but Bogota is quite high. So what happened is I flew in late Thursday evening. I'm greeted by Isaac and Henry Jerez, who's the preacher that we're helping in, one of the preachers we're helping in Bogota. Spend the night at Henry's. It was late. I think it was 11:30 or 12 before I got in there. We slept for a few hours. We got up in the next morning, and Jeff and Isaac and I had a flight out to Cali the next day. So here we are, early morning breakfast in Bogota before flying out to Colombia. Isaac looks a little brighter than I do about that time of day, and Jeff equally, as he's about my age, so he's kind of slow getting going in the morning as well. But excited about getting down to Cali and meeting with Pablo Ramirez, who's the brother that we're supporting in the work in Cali. So you see the pictures here. Here is Pablo, his wife Judy, their son Joshua, Jeff and Isaac sitting at Pablo's kitchen table. This is an outside view of Pablo's house, which is a corner lot at the intersection of two main streets, very busy streets in Cali. Cali is a city of, they told me when I was down there, 4 million people, but I was checking it out on Google a little while ago, and it's only 2.5 million people. So, but it is a very large city as well. Traffic is a problem there, but Pablo lives on the very edge of the city. Traffic's significant even in his area. And we stayed there in a hotel, a pretty nice hotel, about a block and a half from Pablo's house, actually. So it was within walking distance of Pablo's house. Cali is much lower than Bogota in elevation, so the temperature does get quite warm there. It's very tropical. We had, I think, the days that we were there, every day was in the 80s, and you had a bit of a rain shower, so it was humid. This is a coconut palm across the street from Pablo's house. He says when the coconuts fall, he runs out and picks them up and eats them. So that must be nice, I guess. There's also a mango tree down the street. You can pick up the mangoes as well. But that's sort of the situation that we're in there, getting to meet Pablo and his family and getting settled in there during the day on Friday. On Friday evening, then, we got to go to a Bible study in the house, the home of some of the members there, Diego and Delilah, although they would say Delilah, I think, is how they would say that name, in Cali. We had about 25 people in this study. It's a small second floor apartment that Diego and Delilah have, interested in Bible study. One of the things that Eastside did, you might remember, in 2015, we had a young people's study here, Unmasking Illusions of Our Culture. And we had Gardner Hall and Jerry Falk with us, Spanish-speaking preachers, during those days. And Jerry translated those lessons into Spanish, and the elders had the foresight to make booklets and publish those in Spanish. I think about 2,000 booklets were originally published. We were able to take about 120 of those booklets down for distribution, able to distribute about 120 of those booklets. And so you see that was done for this group that first night in Cali, for the 20 or 25 people that were there. The booklets were really well received. I tried to preach a lesson every place we went. I tried to preach one of the lessons out of that booklet to, generate interest in the booklet. People take it home and study the rest of the lessons. Tim Richter, your lesson on moral neutrality has been worn out in Spanish-speaking countries. I can tell you that. I've preached it 3 or 4 times down there. It's a good lesson, and folks seem to enjoy that. So you see the people, Diego there and Judy with their booklets, looking at them with some interest and And I think that those booklets just being left there will do some good in future studies for our brethren in Columbia. Had a good study that night with some questions from those that were there. You could tell their interest in the Bible was sincere and real. Next morning, early morning, we went with Pablo's family into the center of Cali just for a little bit of sightseeing and whatnot for a couple of hours before we really got started on our day. This is Pablo's family. Maybe a closer-up picture of them as we were in the town center there in Cali. Here's Pablo. This is Judy, his wife. This is Joshua. As in Spanish, I think they say Josué, but Joshua to you and me. And Caleb. Spanish is Caleb or something like that. But Joshua and Caleb. Pablo said if he had another son, he would have named him Moses. But he's only got the two sons, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua is got autism. It's fairly pronounced, quite challenging to just corral him and help him through his day. They work diligently with him. Fortunately, he has recently been able to start attending a school for special needs children in Cali, and that seems to be helping quite a bit with him and being able to relate to him and all of that. So that's Pablo's sweet family. They were very lively, energetic, friendly folks to be around. I was glad to get to be around them. This is part of the downtown area of Cali. And I you can only imagine in these South American countries, Central American countries, Catholicism has a big influence, has had for a long time. And certainly that's true of the city of 2.5 million people or so. The Catholic Church has really dominated religion in Colombia for a long time. Over 80% of the population still claim to be Catholic, although many of them are nominally so. So what you see here is a big, beautiful cathedral that was built, I think, in the 1950s. It looks kind of like you're in Disney World or something, but I think that's the idea of it. There were two or three very large cathedrals. This is only one of them in the town center. That's a confessional inside one of the other cathedrals in the area. And this is one of the tall mountains that surrounds Cali. And you can see maybe the statue of supposedly Jesus there overlooking the city, sort of like the statue that they have in Rio de Janeiro that overlooks the city that's very famous. So you see the influences of Catholicism everywhere in the city. That afternoon, we went back to Pablo's house, had a good long discussion with Pablo about the work, studied some of the issues that he had in question, spent some time with his family, had lunch with them. So that was how Saturday afternoon was spent. And then Saturday evening, we went to the building where the church in Cali meets and had an evening study there. I preached on the topic of confession, and Jeff preached on the judgment. There was a good attendance that night, over 20 there. In that second story meeting place. The lady in the picture had been a Christian for exactly 15 days. She had been converted out of Catholicism just 15 days before that. She'd come into contact with Christians who were members there at Cali. She was one of their neighbors, and they got to talking and set up a study, and she began attending, learned the truth, became a Christian. So there's good work that's being done there. Like a lot of places, it's not as rapid or fast as you'd like it to be, but Pablo's working hard. The church seems committed to evangelism. I noticed that, and they're interested in Bible study, and not just on a superficial level, but on in-depth issues. As we found out on Sunday, we come back Sunday morning in Cali, and Jeff and I both preached on marriage at the request of Pablo. He wanted some teaching on that for the congregation there, so we both preached on marriage. Isaac presided over the Lord's table, and then Isaac would preach in the afternoon assembly on Luke 15. So we had a good day with the congregation there. You see many of them in the chairs. I'll just make this point in passing. Colombia is much better off economically than any of the other third world country that I've been to. I would put it on par with South Africa. It's 100 times better off than Zimbabwe. Probably 10 times better off than Guatemala. So the folks there are better off. And as an indication of that, every place that we went, they had their own PowerPoint. So didn't have to have PowerPoint, it was all there. But also every place that we went, they're still sitting in the plastic lawn chairs in the churches. So, you know, it's better, they're more advanced, they're financially further along, but not as far as we typically are in the United States. So we have this meeting Sunday morning there with the group in Cali. We walk over, several of us, to a restaurant for lunch that was near the building. And this discussion ensues related to marriage and marriage problems. One of the sisters there is having serious marital problems with her husband, and she took up asking questions of especially Jeff and Isaac. Very serious discussion went on for a long time related to some of the issues that she's facing. Those are the kinds of things that obviously you don't want to hear about, but it's heartening to see people who are interested in what does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say I should do in my situation? Please help me with this. And so you have that level of spirituality among those people, and that sort of thing is encouraging to us when we see that level of spirituality. So here's back at the church building that afternoon, and Isaac is preparing to preach the afternoon service. So we had really good about 3 days there with Pablo and his family. Pablo is a hard worker. You can tell that. He's dedicated to the truth, and he, as far as I can tell, speaks the truth with a lot of conviction. Well, we went from there, flew back to Bogota the next day. I should mention that Pablo's car is not in the best shape. This is what we were riding around in very hot Cali, sometimes seven of us in this little 1987 Renault with no air conditioning and no door locks that really worked and lots of other things that didn't work very well. So Pablo's not in the best situation with his car, but it did get us back and forth to the airport, and we fly into Bogota. You see the fields there below us as we're flying into Bogota, the very green, lush area. Temperature in Bogota is typically almost every day of the year somewhere between 50 and 70. Just kind of stays that way. There are a lot of clouds, a lot of rain. The elevation keeps it from getting very hot. The sun can pop out once in a while, but not very often. So going into a place that's a lot different from Cali. We land, we get over to Henry's house, and here is Henry with his family, his wife, I should say, Sonia, who would be our host for the rest of our time in Colombia. We stay in the apartment complex there. This is Kelly and her two boys. Kelly is a recent widow. Her husband died about a year and a half ago. She travels on Saturday, every Saturday, down to stay with Henry and his wife for Sunday so her boys can get strong teaching there in the church. She lives about an hour away, but she brings her boys down so they can get the strong teaching at the church at El Rincón where Henry works. And she seems to be doing a good job, really, trying to raise these children. These people, again, are not financially destitute. They're not really poor. They get along well. They have cars. They have nice apartments. So it's not like it is in a lot of other countries that I have visited. But it's a fine family, and it's good to be with them. This is a shot from Henry and Sylvia's, I don't know why I put Sylvia's, it's Sonia's. I hope she's not watching this. Henry and Sonia's apartment complex. You see in the far distance there a bunch of buses. There's a city bus barn near their apartment complex. But you get the idea. It's a nice apartment complex. They live on the fifth floor. City buses run all throughout. You see those in traffic all the time. So that's their situation as far as living circumstances. Monday night, we're over to Henry's brother's house. Henry's brother's name is David. He's also a preacher in the area, works a lot with Henry. There's a study there. And once again, I'm able to preach a lesson there on authority and the work of the church, which was well received in the home of David Jerez. This is typical traffic in Bogota. Bumper to bumper. A lot of big buildings around sometimes, and sometimes just small buildings in neighborhoods, but we fought that every day. So Tuesday, we took off across town. It takes a long time to get anywhere. As I mentioned, Bogota is a city of 8 to 9 million people, 600 square miles, bumper-to-bumper traffic. If you go 15 miles, it's going to take you an hour and a half. Everywhere you go, doesn't matter, no matter what time of day or night, that's going to be what you're facing. So we spent a lot of time just in traffic. Thankful that those guys know how to drive in it. I don't think I could stand it for more than about 2 minutes trying to drive in that traffic. But we were driving down to visit with Tito Gonzalez. Tito is the third man that we have supported from Eastside for quite a long time. Tito is an interesting person. He was an evangelical denominational preacher until he was 56 years old. And he was converted at the age of 56 and began to stand for the truth and teach the truth. He's helped a lot of people in Bogota see the truth and come to a knowledge of the truth over the years. David and Henry Jerez have worked with him in times past, know him well, but hadn't actually seen him for 2 or 3 years. So it was good that they were able to take us down to his house for a visit. Obviously, Brother Gonzalez, Brother Tito, is not young anymore. He's 88 years old, and he's on oxygen. He has Parkinson's disease. He has a lung problem, but he still has a good mind. Still preaches and teaches for a church that meets in his home. He is still very highly respected. You can just tell it among the brethren there. David and Henry both spoke in glowing terms of the life that he's lived and the good that he's done. So he's certainly in the waning years of his service to God here on earth, but he's a good man, and he appreciates very much the support that you've given him over the years. He's still striving with all that he has to do all that he can while he's still on earth. So I had a good visit with him. There are about 15 people that attend the little group that meets in his home still. Again, I think he's doing some good teaching. He has a son who's preaching quite a bit without support, and he encourages and works with his son in those endeavors. Did I mention that the traffic in Bogota is bad? This is late night traffic, again, bumper to bumper, the direction that we're aiming the camera there anyway. So we spend the day with Tito, then back through town, and Isaac and I go to a church that was newly started about a year and a half ago by Henry. This is a second church that he started in the area about a year and a half ago, small group, but one where there's a lot of interest, some people there attending who have a lot of interest in Bible study, a lot of interest in standing for Christ. This is the Libertador Church, I think is how you say it. My Spanish is not good, but I think that's how they were pronouncing that, Libertador. This meets on the lower floor of a home of a lady by the name of Ascension. She's pictured there on the left of the picture, next to Isaac. And again, the church was planted by Henry in the last year or two. Again, I preached Tim's lesson on moral neutrality here, and everybody enjoyed receiving those booklets. So that continues on. Wednesday morning traffic, did I mention the traffic's bad in Bogota? Everywhere you go, bumper to bumper, hours at a time. So we had a good bit of a drive through town Wednesday morning over to a study in the home of Jose and Magdalena. This is a study that's been ongoing. Henry's meeting with this group. There are 4 non-Christians in this study, including 2 Mormons, which is a rarity in my experience, studying on a regular basis with Henry, and a young lady from Venezuela named Elimar. And she's pictured in the right of that top picture. She, I think, is very, very close to naming the name of Christ and becoming a Christian. She had some really interesting questions during our session here. That's Henry, by the way. Here's Jose, the homeowner. These are the 2 Mormons, and that's Elimar there. So we had maybe 12 or 13 in that study that day, and that's a shot of some of the principles in it. Here we have just Jeff and Jose outside of Jose's house. But I wanted to get you a picture of there. Maybe you can't really tell it, but the steepness of that street, I was really afraid to walk on it just because it's almost like this. I was afraid it was going to fall down on my street shoes like that. But that's common in Bogota. There are flat areas, and then all of a sudden it'll be like San Francisco or something with hills and all of that. Had a good study there and enjoyed the time in Jose's house. Wednesday afternoon, we go back to Sonia and Henry's, and they're interested in Jeff's presentation on marriage. They want him to teach it to them so they can teach it to others. So the four are sitting around, Isaac and Jeff and Sonia and Henry around the table, and they're taking notes on Jeff's presentation on marriage so that they might be able to teach that to others. They had a good study. I was sitting on the couch listening and took that picture. So Wednesday evening, we meet with the church at El Rincon. This is the main work that Henry's involved in with his brother David and a young man by the name of Andres, who speaks pretty good English and was helping translate a little bit for us. It's the largest group that we visited the whole time in Colombia, about 75 members. I will say this, there are other sound churches in Colombia, several sound churches in Bogota. With the limitations of travel and the problems of getting around, there's not a whole lot of visiting that goes on between the churches, but there are some other sound works that are there in the city. So you may know someone. I think there are two or three here that know some people who live in Bogota. I've already been asked, did you see so-and-so? Well, no, so-and-so lives, 2 hours away, still in Bogota, but 2 hours away from where we were. So I preached again from the booklet, the lesson on social drinking. Jeff preached a lesson on the battle for the heart of Lydia, and the church there was extremely receptive and kind to us in our time with them. We're winding up our studies. Then on Thursday morning, as that would be our last full day there, we drive out to Clemencia's house, and Clemencia is actually Henry's aunt. Henry's mother comes from a family of 13, so he's got a lot of aunts and uncles. And this is the youngest of those uncles who's married to Clemencia, and Clemencia has all of a sudden gotten interested in she and her children doing what the Lord wants them to. We had a great study with her, and I really thought she was about to be baptized Thursday. She had tears in her eyes at one point. We were talking about baptism and its connection to the death of Jesus Christ. And Henry thought she might obey the gospel right then and there too, but she did not. We're praying for Clemencia. Again, you might notice the traffic. This is really typical. The motorcycles drive between the cars. On the dotted line, that's where the motorcycles go. And the bicycles are on the side over here, so and they weave in and out between the traffic as well. Later on, then Thursday afternoon, we get out of the city. I was so happy not to be in the city. First time in a week I hadn't been in the city. We drive an hour and a half north and get out of the city up to a place called Sopo. And there is a church that meets there. Henry drives up there about once a month to help out, keep them encouraged. It's just a church of 12 or 15 people. It meets in this little town, kind of a resort town though, in a really nice area. There's a church that meets up there that Henry is helping out with. So enjoyed that. This is, again, myself and Henry and Sonia as we stopped along the way. Isaac is the one taking that picture, so he's along with us. You see some of the beautiful landscape and area once you get out of the city of Bogota. This is the Thursday evening meeting at Sopo. I was able to preach there, and then Isaac preaches as well. You see the little group there. Again, nice meeting house, but still the plastic lawn chairs. The group there seems, again, really interested in Bible study. We met one of the members in his house before going over to services, whose name was, you're not going to believe this, Cesar Romero. But met with him, Bible questions, what does the Bible say about this, and intense Bible study for half an hour or so, even before going over to services. So that's the kind of folks that we met and encountered, the kind of work that we see being done by the three men that we're supporting in Colombia. Just some observations, impressions of the trip and of Colombia in general. It's a beautiful and relatively prosperous country with millions and millions of lost souls. Each side is supporting three men who have worked diligently to spread the borders of the kingdom. In visiting with them and seeing the work that they've done, there's no doubt about that whatsoever. These men, it's are serious about the work they're doing in the kingdom, and they've been very effective. There are many faithful Christians in Colombia, but again, the churches generally lack scriptural leadership. Few churches have elderships, and few of them have the ability to be self-supporting. While there are a lot of Christians, churches are spread out. The numbers in the churches are relatively small, under 100 in almost every place. And so there's a lack of leadership and a lack of being able to be self-supporting. So much work remains to be done to evangelize the nation as a whole, as is the case in America and all over the world as far as that goes. The brethren there send their thanks, the brethren that we're supporting, to you for your fellowship in the gospel. They appreciate what you have done and are doing for them very, very much. And they ask for your continued prayers for their work and what they're doing. You know, when we take a trip like this, or privileged to get to know the work that's being done elsewhere, great sacrifices are being made by people like Henry and Pablo, Tito. And great sacrifices are being made by many of you to give here at Eastside so that their work can be supported. The greatest sacrifice of all was made by Jesus Christ, who gave his very life so that people all over the world could be saved. It's a strange thing, isn't it, that we travel land and sea to find one who'd be interested in becoming a Christian, when there might be one right here tonight who hasn't obeyed the gospel. And if that's your case, there's no better time than right here and right now to name the name of Jesus and be baptized for the remission of your sins. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.